Well, as we come into the Christmas season, one of the things we always talk about is the real meaning for Christmas and why we celebrate this time of year. And we also talk about why did Jesus come? And there are several reasons why Jesus came to us, but I want to zero in on just one of them. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is one of hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah who would come to us. And here's what Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 9, 6. He says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah tells us that one of the reasons Jesus, our Messiah, would come to us would be to bring us peace. So much so that he would be known for this, that it would be one of his characteristics, that he would be known as the Prince of Peace. Now, let's not just allow that to just slip past us, because that's significant, that he came to be the Prince of Peace. Think about that just for a minute. How many people do you know who, when you ask them, "Hey, how are things going? How are you doing today?" How many people do you know who would answer that question by saying, "Man, I just have so much peace in my life right now. It's just amazing. I just have so much peace. It's great. I just love it. I just feel so peaceful with life right now." Do you know anybody like that? Because I don't. I think the words that characterize our response to that question is more like, "I'm stressed out. I'm frustrated right now. I've got some anxiety about some things that are happening in my life. I feel overwhelmed right now." Those are the words that characterize what we experience in our lives. And it's so common. Do you realize that right now in our country, antidepressants are the most commonly prescribed medication in our country? We talk so much about the stress and the frustration and the challenges of everyday life. We as a culture and we as people, we're not characterized by peace. We're characterized by fear and anxiety and depression and sometimes despair. So much so that it becomes such a common part of life that we just kind of accept and believe that that's just the way life is. That's just the norm. We talk so much about how stressful and overwhelming life is that we kind of develop this mindset that that's the way life is designed to be, that it's just an accepted fact that my life is going to be full of stress and anxiety and depression and feeling overwhelmed, that that is the way life is supposed to be. And while we do experience those things, and they are a reality, I believe that God's plan for what our lives should look like is far different than that. I want you to see something significant that Paul wrote to Timothy, a young man that he was mentoring, in 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. Look what he says. He says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of love, power, and self-discipline." In fact, let's read that last part together out loud. Would you read that with me? "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Timothy was a young pastor. He was pastoring a church that was growing rapidly. It had been a place of significant revival where a lot of lives were changed, a lot of people came to Christ, and Timothy was pastoring this church. And yet Timothy struggled with anxiety and fear, so much so that it was controlling him. And he was holding back from what God had called him to do. And so Paul begins this section by saying, "Timothy, I want you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God has given you." Because Timothy had stopped using his spiritual gifts. He had stopped fulfilling his calling. Fear had so taken root in his life that it was causing him to hold back from fulfilling God's calling and God's purpose for his life. And I believe that that is true of some of you here today. Because for every one of us here, understand this: God has his hand on you. God has a calling on your life. He has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. He wants your life to be significant. But so much of the time, there are things that can get in the way of that happening. And sometimes what gets in the way is fear or anxiety or feeling depressed or feeling hopeless and despair. And if that's what you're facing today, if you're being held back by fear, anxiety, depression, or hopelessness, I want to say to you that today is the day that ends. We are declaring today a day of freedom. Because Paul says that fear is not from God. That what God offers us is far different than that. Because Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace. That's not just a title, that's who he is. That's not just a name, it is what he does. Jesus came to bring you peace. Whatever you're facing, whatever your history is, wherever you are in life right now, Jesus came to bring peace into your life. And as we've been talking about throughout this series, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Take all of that that I just mentioned, fear, anxiety, depression, despair, that fits into the category of the works of the devil, doesn't it? Those are some of his primary attacks, some of the main tools he uses to hold us back and to keep us from experiencing the life God designed us to experience. And so Jesus came to undo, to destroy those works of fear and anxiety and depression and hopelessness, and to replace it with peace and with power and with love and with self-control, because he is the Prince of Peace. And it's interesting because that is all through his story from start to finish. In the very beginning at his birth, in Luke 2:14, look at what the angels sang as they met with the shepherds. They sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those with whom God is pleased." The angels told the shepherds Jesus would bring peace to mankind. At the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, Jesus went to his local synagogue and he stood in front of the group of people that was gathered together there. He opened up the scroll to a passage in Isaiah and read a prophecy about himself to those who were assembled there. And here's what is written in that prophecy. It's in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And then Jesus rolled up that scroll and he said, this promise that captives would be set free, this promise that prisoners would be released, he said, these promises today, right now and right here, those promises are fulfilled. Because Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. He came to set captives free from fear and anxiety. He came to release us from the oppression of despair and depression. Those do not belong in our lives, because Jesus came to release us and to set us free from those things. A few years later, just before his betrayal and his death, at a time of chaos and uncertainty for the disciples, they had tons of unanswered questions. They knew something terrible was about to happen, but they didn't know what. And they were stressed and they were fearful and they were upset. And Jesus said this to his disciples in John 14:27, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Jesus promised his disciples, his followers, that he would give them a gift of peace. And it's significant when he promised that that was available to them, because it was at a time when there was no outward reason for them to have peace at all. Everything in their lives was about to be thrown upside down. Everything they believed and depended on and trusted in was about to be thrown into question, because in the next few hours, they would see one of their own betray Jesus. They would see Peter, the rock, the guy that never backed down from a fight. They would see him deny even knowing Jesus. And they would see Jesus, the one in whom they had placed all their faith, all their trust, the one who they believed had come to save them. They saw him brutally executed. And before any of it happened, Jesus said to them, "I am offering you a gift. It's available to you if you'll just receive it. And the gift I am offering to you in the middle of all of this is my peace. After his death, the disciples are huddled together in the upper room and they're hiding. They're fearing for their lives, waiting for the moment when the Roman soldiers would come pounding on the door and round them up and haul them off to be imprisoned or worse. And they are filled with fear. They are filled with anxiety. They are depressed. They are hopeless. They think all is lost. And all of a sudden, Jesus just shows up in the room that they're in. It's like he just kind of walks through the wall, and all of a sudden, he's just there. And what's interesting is the first thing he said to them after his resurrection. It's in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 26. Jesus shows up, and here are his first words to them: "Peace be with you." To his followers who were gathered together, who were terrified of what had happened and what they thought was about to happen, they were filled with anxiety and fear. They were hopeless. They felt absolutely lost. And Jesus' message to them was, "I am giving you peace. It's available to you." Jesus came to bring peace to those who are anxious and fearful and depressed and hopeless. To a group of believers in Rome, which was not an easy place to be a follower of Christ, Paul wrote these words in Romans 16:20, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he came to destroy the works of darkness, including fear and anxiety and depression and hopelessness. Jesus came to destroy those works. And so because he is here, we can have peace. Because he came to us and pursues a relationship with us, we can have peace. Because he has promised he would never abandon us, he would never forsake us, we can have peace. Because he is alive and conquered death, we can have peace. And because he has said, "I have destroyed your enemy, he will be crushed under your feet," we can have peace. Now, why am I talking about this today? Because as we've been talking through this series about the battle that we're in, one of the things that we've been saying from the beginning is that the more we realize that we are in a battle, the enemy tends to push back. And some of you have seen that, and some of you have shared that in the last few weeks. And one of the things that has come to the surface more clearly than anything else is this whole issue of emotional attacks. Fear and anxiety and depression, just feeling overwhelmed by life. And in the last couple of weeks especially, Sheila tends to be more sensitive to the voice of the Spirit than I do. And she brought this up and said, "I really feel like we need to go after this." And a couple of other people who I trust as well brought this up. And I said, "Yeah, we need to go after this." So today we're going after this. So if you're here today and you're struggling with fear or anxiety, depression or hopelessness, today is your day of freedom. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. That is not from him. His gift to us is peace. So today I'm not going to talk about, here's five steps to experiencing peace, because I don't think that's how it works. When God gives us a promise, when God offers us a gift, our response is fairly simple. We receive that gift. We believe that promise. And sometimes we need to speak out our faith in that promise. We need to say, confess out loud our belief that God has given us that gift. And so for you, it might look like saying something like this: "God, you have not given me a spirit of fear. I'm expressing my faith in your promise with my words. And so in the name of Jesus, I reject fear. I reject anxiety. God, you have said you would give me peace. And so in faith and in the name of Jesus, I receive that peace. God, you have said that you would not bring me depression. That's not from you. That doesn't come from you. Depression and hopelessness, those don't come from you, God. You said to fear not. So I reject those things. And in the name of Jesus, I receive your gift. You promised joy. And so, God, I receive that joy. I accept it into my life. I believe that you have given me this gift. And so here and now, I receive it. Sometimes we need to speak it out. We need to, in the authority of Christ, reject the lies of the enemy and express verbally our faith in God's promises. And so we speak it out. God, you have given me a blessing of joy to replace sorrow. You have given me praise to replace despair. Because all of these things, fear and anxiety and depression and hopelessness, despair, these are not from God. Every one of them is a lie from our adversary. What comes from God is joy and peace and victory and a renewed mind. That is what's available to us. That is your inheritance in Christ. So today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to say it, we're going to pray it, we're going to believe it, and we're going to receive it. I'm going to stop talking in just a couple of minutes, but let me tell you what we're doing first. We do this from time to time where we spend a time in prayer for each other, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're not doing the every eye closed and every head bowed. I don't believe in that. We're a family. We're in this together. We're here to support each other. We're here to work together on all of this. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open up the floor. And all of us have done so well with this. I've said from the beginning, I don't want us to be a church where we come in hurting and struggling and we put on a mask and pretend everything's fine. And then we walk out still hurting and struggling and then we take off the mask. I want this to be a place where the mask comes off and where we can know we're not going to be judged. We're not going to be looked down on. We're going to be loved and encouraged and accepted. I want us to be that church. And we have been. And I'm so thankful for that. So I'm just going to open up the floor and just invite you. If you're struggling with any of these things that we've identified, fear, anxiety, depression, hopelessness, I'm going to encourage you just to say, hey, I'm in that battle right now. Would you pray for me? And as a church, we're going to come around and we're going to pray for you. And I want to encourage you, all of us get to be a part of this, okay? Nobody is excluded. We all get to pray. You may not feel comfortable praying out loud. That's okay. I'm not taking names. I don't have a clipboard. But I do want to encourage you in this way. If you've been fearful of praying out loud, maybe that's a fear you're supposed to work through today. And maybe this is your chance to step out of that box and say, okay, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, but I'm going to pray for this person for God's work in their life. And so maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone in that way. But I want to encourage us as we pray for each other. Let me just clarify. Do not pray timid prayers. Do not pray half-hearted prayers. Pray boldly. Pray with authority. Because peace, joy, freedom from those things, these are promises God has given us. And so in prayer, we're receiving those promises, and we can do that with confidence because these are promises God has given us. Here's the other thing. My goal today, my hope and my expectation is not that those who ask for prayer walk out of here today saying, that was a nice service. That was encouraging. Felt good to have people pray for me. Those are nice and those are good. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not enough. My prayer and my expectation today is that miracles are going to happen in people's lives. Amen. Is that today will be a day of freedom. That today you will be set free from whatever that is. That it will be removed from your life because it does not belong. And it will be replaced by the peace and the joy, the power, the love, the self-control, the victory that Jesus has made available to us. So I'm asking God, we are asking God today for the miraculous. We're asking God to do a life-changing work in people's lives today. Okay? All right. So I'm going to stop talking.
You said that already.
I know. Well, I said I'm going to stop talking in a few minutes. Now it's a few minutes. All right? That's my wife. Thank you, babe. So I'm going to stop talking now. And just open the floor up. If you need prayer.